Here.
Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Here.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Here.
John?
Here.
Kurt?
Present.
Okay, we have a full quorum today with Assemblymember Waldhuter participating by phone. And now it's time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. Would you please stand and say the pledge with us? Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, that brings us to item 3 on the agenda, and it's approval of minutes. We're looking for approval of the meeting minutes from February 2nd of 2015. I'll entertain a motion to that.
I'll move. Second.
Been moved by Member Loganakis, seconded by Member Lynn to approve the minutes from the regular assembly meeting of February 2nd, 2015. If I hear no changes, I'll consider them approved. Okay. The next meeting minutes we're looking for approval on is the February 6, 2015 special meeting. We'll entertain a motion to approve those.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Greger to approve those meeting minutes. Any changes? It looks like they're approved as well. That brings us to item 4, amendment and approval of the meeting agenda for today. Is there a motion to approve or amend these minutes?
Mr. Mayor, could we move a presentation up to the forward end of this agenda early on here?
Sure.
As the people.
What would you like to move up?
Recognition.
Okay, under council discussion, I think we'll move recognitions up. So is that all right with all the other assembly members?
Yes, and I would like to add swearing in of our new city clerk, okay, our borough clerk.
So we have approval to move the first thing up under recognitions up, and as well as move the swearing in of our new borough clerk. So everybody in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any other amendments to today's meeting? Seeing none, all those in favor of today's meeting minutes as amended, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. So before we go any farther, let's do the swearing in of our new clerk first. New borough clerk is going to be Debbie Thompson, and she's going to be replacing Kathy over here.
You do solemnly affirm that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Alaska, and the ordinances of the Petersburg Borough, and that you will faithfully, honestly, and impartially perform the duties of borough clerk to the best of your ability.
I do.
Very good. It's official. And now we have recognitions. I believe there is a recognition of Officer Kerr today. Is that what we have going? So, Kelly, were you going to do that, please?
Thank you.
And who else had a
recognition? I'd like to recognize Sergeant Kerr for two successful life-saving efforts over about the last 60 days. I've got a little deal I'll read for you here. On October 28, 2014, Sergeant James Kerr and Officer Ben Keene responded to a report of a suicidal male locked in a restroom. On arrival, Sergeant Kerr forced the door open and found the subject unconscious and not breathing. Further, he noticed signs of illicit drug use. Sergeant Kerr performed rescue breathing on the subject, who regained consciousness. The subject was transported to Petersburg Medical Center for further treatment and has since recovered. And again, on January 8, 2015, Sergeant Kerr and another officer responded to a person that was reported to have fallen. Upon arrival, Sergeant Kerr found the subject unconscious and not breathing. He observed the subject had turned blue and also noticed items suggesting illicit drug use. Again, Sergeant Kerr performed rescue breathing for several minutes until he was relieved by medical personnel who took over treatment. The subject later regained consciousness and was transported to the medical center for further treatment. and has since recovered. Sergeant Kerr placed himself at risk by performing rescue breathing on two subjects who were involved in illicit intravenous drug use. Both individuals would have likely died had it not been for his quick, decisive, and professionally administered action. As a token of our appreciation of his dedication to the citizens of Petersburg, it's my pleasure to present this plaque to him for his successful life-saving efforts.
Thank you, Sergeant, for your dedication to your job.
Thank you.
Mr. Loesch? Sure. Could you please step forward, and or you can do it where the other recognitions took place and swearing in, whatever you like.
We have a recognition for outgoing clerk, Kathy O'Rear.
Oh,
here. Make it come up.
That's the exact reaction I thought I would get.
You're not getting
me
in violation of anything,
are you? The plaque reads, in appreciation to Kathy O'Rear, City Clerk and Petersburg Borough Clerk, August 7, 2000 to March 31, 2015, for professional and exemplary work on behalf of the citizens of this community by maintaining and distributing public information and records in accordance with the Alaska Open Meetings Act and public record statutes presented on the second day of March 2015 by the publishers of the Petersburg Pilot.
A well-deserved reward, no doubt. Any more recognitions before we move on? Any of the staff have any recognitions? Seeing no hands going up. We'll move forward. That brings us to public hearings and bid awards. First item there is a community discussion, which has been ongoing on local control/regulations of the new marijuana legalization law. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to talk to that? If we're going to have a resolution before us later in the meeting, do we have to form a resolution to be able to appoint a committee? And there's 16 names now of people that want to be on the committee from the public and two assembly members. So if no one from the public wants to make any comments at this time, we'll have our discussion on it later. I see no one interested, so we'll move on. Public hearing on ordinance 2015-14 and ordinance adjusting the fiscal year 2015 budget for known changes. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to talk on ordinance 2015-04 in a public hearing? Seeing none, we'll close that public hearing. The next item on the under public hearings and bid awards is a public library landscaping project bid award. I would entertain a motion to approve this bid award. Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Greger to approve this landscaping bid award. Discussion. And we could briefly go, John.
Yeah, this concerns me a little because knowing the budget crunch we're in, and it's going to be getting much worse, I have a hard time spending $200,000 on landscaping. If it was going for some long-term hardware for the library or something that we wouldn't have to spend money on later because we're using this now, I'd be more in favor of it. And, any donated monies or equipment, I have no problem with at all. But monies coming from that state grant or from the bond we took, I'd rather see, like I said, go to some hardware or something permanent because we're going to have trouble keeping the lights on in a few years. And having $200,000 landscaping just doesn't seem right at this time.
Okay. Any other discussion on this bid award for the library landscaping? Kurt, can you hear us all right?
Yeah, I hear you just fine there, Mark.
Okay, just want to touch bases with you every once in a while.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Nancy?
It's my understanding these funds are already part of the contract? the library, this isn't something that's coming out of the fresh out of the budget.
No, Tara, can you explain where the funding is going to come from for this?
Sure, there's two sources of funding for the
landscaping. Can you, I don't know that the,
oh, sorry.
You thank you, Liz.
There's two sources of funding for the library landscaping. The first is a state legislative grant, which is earmarked for the public library. And the second source are private donations from individuals and businesses in the community.
Okay, does that explain where that, your question, Nancy?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and the bid, the lowest bid came in at higher than the money we had, so they negotiated with the lowest bidder and got them down to the level that we had funding for. And it sounds to me like it's going to be mainly just rock work and some drainage and stuff, but it would definitely clean up the yard at the library. Cindy?
If I may, in conversations with some of the library staff, I believe the idea was to hardscape it so that it would save money. They wouldn't have to go in and mow the grass and tend the vegetation. So long term, this is supposed to be a less expensive option than to have to maintain living landscaping.
There will actually be plants on the site, but we have designed the entire site as well as the plantings to be as low maintenance as we can over the long term, yeah.
Okay, any other discussion? If there's none, will the clerk call the roll?
John?
No.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes. Okay, the bid award for the public library landscaping project is approved 6-1 with member Haverlick voting no, and it'll be awarded to Reed Brothers Construction. Okay. Visitors' views related to the agenda today. Is there anybody in the audience that has views related to items on today's agenda that would like to talk about it? Yes. Can you step to the microphone, who you represent, please?
My name is Wes Davis. I'm with the Ruger's Trucking. We are currently doing the Blue Bag program. You know, besides the obvious fact I'd like to keep my job, I still don't believe it, the cart-based system's a good fit for our city right now. You know, the sanitation department put out a survey. 104 people took it. 66 of those people said they wouldn't mind having cans. And majority of a weekend, we got 300 people on a petition saying, leave the program the same, don't spend the money for the new equipment. So I don't think that survey was accurate. You know, when it was first brought to my attention, they said, we're just doing what the public wants. But I don't believe that's what the public wants. I still think that the cart-based system is going to hinder our recycling rate. We have, you know, people with steep driveways. You know, for example, Papsky's Landing, those people are dragging their carts all the way down the road, out to the main road. You know, if I lived there, I certainly wouldn't, on a separate day, drag my cart all the way out to the end, 96-gallon cart, to recycle. So I still think it's going to have some negative effects overall. You know, when we lived down south and we had, you know, a cart-based system, you know, everybody has a 30-foot paved driveway on a slope right down to the curb. You know, it was real simple. All the cans are stacked right behind everybody's gates. But there was still someone from waste management would drive around, randomly open up the bins, and check if they got what they're supposed to have in them. Because human nature is, over time, they're just going to start throwing stuff in there. For example, people throwing scrap metal. Oh, it's recyclable. Throw scrap metal in there. But that's not what our commingle program is for. It's not for scrap metal, things like that. I mean, I've had people put tennis shoes because they have rubber soles on them in there. People put a computer in there, you know. So I think that over time, you know, cart-based system is going to encourage that kind of behavior, where we might have issues with our handler down south saying, hey, we're spending too much time picking stuff out of here that's, you know, that we're paying for. I still think it's irresponsible, you know, to spend that kind of money on that system. You know, the borough's already spending over $500,000 on new equipment for this year, up and coming budget as it is right now. tacking another 210 on top of it when our state's in financial crisis. You know, we can already feel the crunch trickling down to us. It doesn't seem wise. I guess I got a couple quick questions for Carl real quick to clarify something. We had last meeting, it was $66,000 in savings was put out, you know, per year, roughly, the cost difference. Were those figures mainly just based on, you know, the purchase price of the vehicles, purchase price of the cans, and versus our contract?
That figure comes from comparison between expenses if we went with continuing our contract versus going to buying a truck and getting carts. It's a comparison between the expenses that we see on an annual basis.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'd like to know. I mean, I don't want to lead anybody astray. So I'd like to know: do you have fuel, maintenance, insurance, all that stuff included in those expenses?
Yes, I do.
For the big truck?
Yes.
Do you have the cost of someone picking up commercial cardboard in that?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I want to know. I didn't want to get up here and say the opposite without clarifying that first. I think there's a lot of different ways we can look at the blue bags. There's got to be ways we can save money on them. You know, I've seen, you know, at least like probably four different kinds of bags come through here. You know, purchasing one kind of bag that works for everybody in a bulk order, we know what we need. You know, I've talked to a lot of residents that said they wouldn't mind us using their own bags. You know, it's just as recyclable as the blue bags. Yeah, I mean, so there's just lots of different ways, you know, we can have some discussions and sit down and figure out the best way to maybe cut the cost for the city for the blue bags itself. I mean, another question for all of us in the room, if you have a blue cart, are you going to recycle more? You know, my answer is no. But if your answer is yes, then what's stopping you from recycling more now? You know, I don't see why a cart would make you put more in it. Our recycle rate's not where it should be yet. You know, we are hoping to be up to 30% by now. We're at, you know, 16%. That's pretty much it. You know, it's pretty cut and dry to spend that kind of money for a program that's not quite there yet. When the people I've talked to said that if they go to carts, they're going to quit the program. They don't want to recycle. It's too much of an inconvenience. Convenience is a big part of the blue bag program. It's working well, but I know for a fact that there's going to be a lot less people recycling with blue cans. And then what's going to happen? The city's going to have a expensive truck sitting there, all these cans sitting there that, you know, and the recycle rate's still low. I say we need to give it some more time, keep, you know, talking to the public, make them aware of what they can recycle, what they can't, build the program, let's get it up to 30%, and continue discussions at another year. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. And this is, I think, in what Mr. Davis is talking about is on this year's budget under the sanitation department. The borough's proposing buying a new vehicle and some cans, and this is the first reading today that we're going to vote on. The next meeting will be the second reading, and will also be a public hearing. So people that are interested and have an opinion on this, that will be your time to come and comment. Send letters, and they will be read into the record or show up at the meeting on the 16th, I believe it is, and we'll discuss it then. So thank you. Any questions of Mr. Davis? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So any other visitors with views related to today's agenda in the audience? Okay, we've got Matt Briner closes down first. Larson, we'll
hi.
State your name and who you represent.
Please. I'm Matt Briner. I'm a vice president of Petersburg Little League. I want to talk a little bit about the resolution 2015-04, the transferring of the skate park into Little League. We'd like to, if it works out throughout the community, we'd like to take that facility and make it into an enclosed batting cage. eventually. You know, anywhere from year to year, we get anywhere from 90 to up to 200 kids in our Little League programs. And it would be nice to have another facility where they can utilize hitting cages and pitching in an enclosed area. Right now, as the skate park sits, being up there quite a bit, that facility, as far as I see, doesn't get utilized that often. It'd be nice to get an opportunity to let a bigger user group utilize that area. So that's kind of where we're at right now. We'd like to see, and it's something that could happen this year. You know, as far as money goes for cages and cable systems and stuff like that, Little League already has, you know, a lot of the cable system and stuff like that, because we put the netting up on the big fields, and as far as nets cost, it's minimal. So we have artificial turf that we got from Juno's football field, so we can put that down, and we want to do that also with the cages that are up there right now. We just need a little bit of dirt or sand or something to level things out. So we want to continue to make that field grow without trying to have the city have to do a lot of the legwork. So.
Okay, thanks, Matt. Any questions of Matt by the assembly? Thank you, Matt.
You bet.
Debbie?
I just wanted to clarify, excuse me, Mr. Mayor, the public hearing for the known changes of the budget, which has to do with the recycling contract, is actually today. You already read it.
Also, this is the...
Today's the second reading, and the public hearing was supposed
right.
to be today, and
okay.
no one spoke.
I stand corrected, so we're...
But if there's someone here that wants to speak...
We'll be on to our third reading at the next meeting.
Correct, then.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you for the correction. That's important. Okay, any other... Visitors with views related to the agenda. Lars, can you please step to the microphone and state your name and who you represent right over here where Mr. Briner just was.
My name is Lars. Most of you know me. I really don't represent anybody, but I was listening on the radio, and I was listening to your thing about the landscaping the library. I just cannot understand how that can cost $200,000. I've done a little bit of that. I mean, $100,000 had been way too much money. And I don't know if I'm late speaking on it, but I just don't see how you can justify spending that kind of money on that. And I don't know how politics works. I just want to give my opinion.
Well, thanks for your public input, but we've already
I know
passed
it's too
the
late.
Award, so, yeah. But
it just seems so absurd, $200,000 for landscaping.
Okay, thank you. Any other visitors' views related to today's agenda? Okay, now I'll backtrack a little bit just to make sure we cover this. We're still under public hearing and bid awards. Is there anybody that would like to talk under public hearing on Ordinance 2015-04, an ordinance adjusting the fiscal year 2015 budget for known changes? Okay, seeing none. That public hearing is closed. Thanks, Debbie. Any other visitors' views related to today's agenda? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on. Visitors' views unrelated to today's agenda. Any visitors' views on items not presented on our agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on. Board, commission, and committee reports. Now we have a report from a presentation by Joel Paisner and Trey Atkinson from SEPA. Joel is the legal counsel, and Trey is the CEO of SEPA, and this is in regards to bonding. So you guys have the floor.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. Appreciate the opportunity to speak today. Going to speak a couple of things today. Just going to give you a brief update on the SWAN project and where that's at, and then discuss some financing things we're working on. And just to help put things in context a little bit, and I'll call Joel up here in just a little while to kind of end the presentation. So as far as who SEPA is, if you're not familiar with our organization, we are your generation and transmission joint action agency. You all should have a handout there. It's basically some PowerPoint slides. The JAA is governed by municipal appointed board members from our three-member communities. The JAA owns the Taiyi and Swan Lake hydroelectric projects, providing wholesale power and energy to the municipalities of Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg. The JAA also owns, operates, and maintains the transmission lines linking those communities together, approximately 175 miles of line and 14 miles of submarine cable. SEPA evolved out of the four dam power pool during restructuring. The JAA provides bundled services, including scheduling, planning, engineering, O&M, project development, water management, and so forth. So with regard to the Swan Lake Reservoir Expansion Project, for those that you aren't familiar with that, I do put out a community flyer about quarterly. Hopefully that's given you a little insight as the project's moved along. The dam's 174 feet tall, 430 feet wide, and it has a spillway slot in it that's 15 feet high and 100 feet wide. And essentially the project is to fill that spillway slot, be able to raise the reservoir 15 feet. It gives us an extra 25% active storage in that reservoir, so pretty good bang for the buck with small modifications. And after we fill the spillway slot, we also have to make some adjustments to the parapet wall and also raise some equipment up in the intake structure. So the current status is, and we completed all the studies here a while back, filed our non-capacity license amendment last year. We're expecting to get a response on that here in the next month or two, hopefully. Design's at about 30% now, and we've been doing some extensive modeling. We've actually changed our design and simplified it from the original Obermeyer design. So simpler, easier to install, easier to construct, and easier to maintain. So I think it's going to help lower the overall cost of the project, hopefully by a couple of million dollars. And we're still on track for construction in 2016. So this is a pretty fast-track project. We were actually able to cut about a year off of our permitting process just by being proactive and engaging the agencies a little bit early. So project benefits, what's this do? First of all, it provides more energy. It allows us to capture the spill. We spilled for several months this year, and that once that spill goes over the dam, it's energy lost forever. This particular project is estimated to save us up to 12,000 megawatt hours a year, and on average about 7,500. What's that mean in terms of, say, diesel mitigation? That would be approximately the same amount as burning 800,000 gallons of diesel for diesel generation. And on the good side, it also is about 8 million pounds of CO2 that wouldn't be going in the atmosphere if you burn that diesel. So, as previously mentioned, it adds about 25% to the storage of Swan. It also allows us to keep higher head in the reservoirs. And for those of you familiar with that, that actually, the water that's in the reservoir, we end up using more efficiently. You get more energy out of that water with the higher head. And that'll benefit at both Taiyi and Swan. Another real important aspect of this project is Swan is essentially Petersburg and Wrangell's long-term backup if something were ever to happen at Taiyi. If we had a big transformer failure or something there and we were still able to push power up through the intertie, then that would be able to feed you guys. So I think that's probably the biggest risk mitigation factor. It also supports integration of other non-dispatchable renewables. And what I mean by non-dispatchable are types that aren't always on, or in a good example, that would be like wind and also run-of-river hydro that doesn't have any storage, so when the water's flowing down, you have to capture it or you lose it. This allows us to capture it when it is there and then store that in the reservoir. Most importantly, it won't raise the wholesale power rate. So that's just my quick update on the Swan portion of the presentation. I encourage anybody who has any questions with regard to what I'm talking about today to call our office or look at our website. We have a ton of information on there. We redid our website last year. It's completely revamped, and hopefully it's a lot more user-friendly. Any questions I can field on the Swan project?
Any questions of Trey? John?
Yes, sir.
This isn't directly related to Swan, but with the the lack of snowpack this year. Are we going to have problems this summer?
Oh, I wish that my crystal ball was crystal clear, but what I can tell you right now, our reservoirs are pretty full, which is good, and it's really going to depend. We don't have hardly any snowpack. It's not even worth going up and measuring at this point. We may get some snow a little later on in the season here. If it gets cold, we could have a storm coming and dump a couple feet. So it's really going to depend on inflows later in the year with rain. Yeah, so I don't have better news than that one, but that's what it is.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bob, you have a question?
Yeah, is there an intent in the longer run then when you get the additional capacity to increase the turbine capacity or change your turbines there or anything?
None at Swan, and as some people may recall, we do have a third base tie-in that we could install a third turbine in that. That would probably coincide with the relicensing effort that would occur with Tai, which is around 2030-31 in that time. We'll start that relicensing effort probably 5 to 7 years before the expiration, but that's when that would more than likely occur.
About how much more power would that provide? Just
well, the turbines that are right now, you know, they're rated together at about 25 MVA, but some, you know, about 12 megawatts. And so you probably just put a third one in the same size, or you may downsize it, just depending on your needs.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions of Trey in the assembly?
So
thanks for that, Trey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll roll forward and talk about electric revenue and refunding bonds 2015. I know everybody thinks bonds is an extremely exciting topic, so I'm going to keep it pretty brief. So why are we talking about bonds today? First of all, SEPA has some debt that we have an opportunity to refinance, and probably more importantly, you know, interest rates in the bond market are probably the cheapest they've been in 40 years. I mean, it's just remarkable how low they are. We have some refinancing capability. Our 2009 bonds had an early refunding clause for a portion of them, and that was we were eligible for that in June 2014. And at that time, I advised our board to hold off on that for a little while to see where SWAN came in so we could bundle those two efforts for bonding together. And, of course, the SWAN Lake is the second portion of that. So with our existing 2009 electric revenue bonds, we've got one tranche that's $4.77 million that's eligible for early refunding. And that current interest rate on that's about 5.37%. And our total outstanding debt's about $13.4 million, so that kind of gives you an idea of how big that tranche is out of that. And then for additional funds for SWAN right now, we're looking at approximately $7 million. I'm hoping that I can ratchet that back a little bit, but right now we're looking, that's our goal for seven of new money coming into the system. And for those of you that weren't following it, we did get another grant last year for SWAN, $3.32 million. And so we've got a total of about $3.9 million from the state through DCCD. So I'm going to ask Joel. Mr. Paisner's our legal counsel will come up and kind of tell you where we're at in the process and why we're here today, just to kind of set the wheels in motion for the bonding effort. There are some things we need help with from the city and borough of Petersburg. So thank you.
Thank you, Joel Paisner, and I'm counsel to SEPA. And I just want to run through a couple things. Really, this is just nuts and bolts about the bond issuance. If you have any questions about this, you know, feel free to ask away. But basically, you know, we've had to pull a team together, a bond counsel, financial advisor, underwriter, to help us sell the bonds in the market. And as Trey said, the interest rates that we're looking at now we're getting probably saving about 2 percentage points on interest rates. So the rates are really, really favorable, and that's why we're here doing this now, because it'll save the agency money and keep the rates stable, allow us to do this project going forward, and hopefully not impact the wholesale power rate. And the documents, what we really need from you is we need you to approve the transaction in a way that you let someone sign on behalf of each member utility, in this case the Petersburg Borough, a variety of documents that we're amending. And I prepared a list in the materials here of what we're going to ask to be amended, the indenture and subordination agreement, a couple other technical agreements. But basically, there's really no changes to the underlying documentation. All the authority that the city at the time, the borough now, granted SEPA, the Joint Action Agency, back in 2009 during the restructuring, has been granted already. We have all that authority. There's just some minor technical changes to those documents to include the new money, essentially. And we're not asking for, if anyone was around back in 2009, we had a new power sales agreement, we had new bylaws, things like that. There's no changes to those documents. So it's really much more of a technical change that we'll put before you. We need your city attorney to give a couple technical opinions about the laws and the authority of the assembly. And really, that's it. So our schedule, on page 12 of the outline, I put a schedule together for you. We're not asking for you to do anything today. This is just kind of a heads up. You're going to get a bunch of documents in front of you. We're probably recommend that you have someone like Steve or your mayor granted the authority to sign them, so we don't have to get every single one of you in a room or variety of rooms. But we're presenting today to you. We're going to the city of Ketchikan on Thursday evening and next week to Wrangell. Trey and I then go down to the Bay Area to go to a ratings agency presentation, Standard & Poor's. They actually rate the bonds. That has the biggest effect on the interest rate we'll pay. They rated our bonds last time, and we did okay. We're hoping for good success this time. We're looking at, you know, final pricing and selling of the bonds mid to late April, and then closing, getting access to the funds by the end of April, beginning of May. So really the push will come later, and that's really all it is. I mean, it's pretty technical in terms of what we need you to do. So thanks for having us.
Any questions Mr. Paisner?
Yes, sir. Does this change our liability in any way from the way it is now?
No, it shouldn't, no. I guess the only pause I have there is I'm not quite sure what you mean by liability in terms of
the
cost or
exposure.
Risk. No, it's all the same. It's absolutely the same. I mean, the agency's taking on a little bit more debt, but that's the only thing. Technically, I mean, in terms of legal risk to the member utilities, no, there's no additional legal risk to you at all.
Thank you.
Bob? I got a question similar to that. I assume we're going to send it to our council. That's one of the questions I'd like to see us, if that increases our risk, particularly on the default side, if it ever came about, and what that would do. If we could ask, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Any other questions? Cindy?
I just have one. Is there a limit of debt that SEPA can incur, and how close, actually two questions, how close are we to that limit if there is one?
There's no legal, it's not like the assembly here, a municipality where there's a bar to that. I mean, there's some practical limitations about our assets that the agency owns and how much you can go out there on the market, but there's no legal limitation to that. I mean, obviously, if we take on debt, we have to be able to pay it off. And so that's the limitation, but there's no legal bar to that, like mill rate or that you get up against on a local municipal level. So there's nothing similar to that. And also, I mean, just to respond a little bit to your question about what the liability is for each of the member utilities. I mean, basically, what's really nice about the structure of SEPA is that it's completely separate from the member utilities. There's no obligation for you to pay any of the debt. You have to, if you take our power, you have to pay for it. But this is not in utility financing. There's something called take or pay. This is not a take or pay contract. It's never been a take or pay contract, and I think that has offered each of our member utilities a huge benefit. There's a lot of protection there for you individually. So, and I'm happy to talk to your council about that too. So,
any other questions, Mr. Paisner? Seeing none, thank you.
Thanks very much.
We'll be in touch. Okay, next item on the agenda is consent agenda. I don't see any items listed there, so we'll move on to reports of other officers. And didn't have a published mayor's report, but I was just going to give a brief report of upcoming meetings and then our trips to Juneau and Washington, D.C. And Cindy or Steve could add in whenever they'd like. But the next meeting we have scheduled is there's a meeting on the 9th with the Hospital Board Assembly, a joint meeting which is required by charter every year. So that's going to be next Monday, the 9th at 6 p.m. And then on the 10th, there's a meeting from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and that is about the CAKE access. That will be presented by Brian Wacker. He's a private engineer, public engineer from Robert Pasilla, I think that's how you pronounce it, and Associates. At that meeting, there will be people present from the Forest Service, Alaska Department of Transportation, and Federal Highways, and whoever from the public would like to participate. So that's next Tuesday from 6 to 8. And our next assembly meeting is on the 2nd, and that's at 7 in the evening. 15th. This is a man. It's March, right?
Yes. Monday, right? 16th?
Monday the 16th. Isn't that what I said?
No.
Maybe it's the cough drop. I've got a cold. But I meant 16th. That's one thing I got. That's my mayor's report from Washington, D.C., and the traveling in the metro. I got, must be where I picked it up. Anyway, the Juneau trip, there is a lot of talk about this state of the, you know, financial crisis and the, you know, and, you know, from the oil funding. When we were up there 2 weeks ago, a week before last, there was one thing in particular that would affect us is the funding for the community jails. We normally get, last year we got right around $300,000, I believe. It was $10 million for all the 15 jails around the state, and they totally took it out, Department of Corrections did. So we met with them, and there was a lot of pushback from all the other communities, and they put $7 million back in, and what they suggested was that we would get 2011 levels of funding, which would bring us down to like $202,000, and how we're going to fill that gap is an unknown, but that could be taken out by the legislature, just like the ferry money was taken out, put back in, and the legislature's cutting it again. So it's kind of a moving target. I personally don't see that we have to be too concerned with this year's budget since we have the money and it's a balanced budget, but that's just my opinion. But in the future, it's not going to be a pretty picture. Sorry to bring the news, but I think we're expecting that. Profit sharing is another one. There was $60 million. Later in today's agenda, we're going to talk about supporting the governor's $57 million he wants to put in the budget for revenue sharing. But what the legislature does with that is still up in the air. Ferry funding, like I talked about, it's going to be pretty sad, I think. D.C., just going to go over kind of the agenda and who we met with down there. The first thing on our meeting, the top priority, we deemed it the top priority, was secure rural schools, the money we get there. We met with Senator Murkowski, Senator Sullivan, and Representative Young. They sounded optimistic that there might be funding for retroactively funding the 2014 year, if I remember right, and then 2015 and on, it could be ratcheted down. And the way it's proposed right now, instead of us getting the money we'd get, what would we get, 9,000, Steve? So,
instead of roughly 1.3 million, we getting 9,000.
So it's big numbers. And that's the secure rural schools part of it. PILT, that's been funded. So, you know, for now, that's more of a nationwide thing, payment in lieu of taxes on federal land within your jurisdiction. South Harbor dredging, it was kind of encouraging. We went and talked to Steve Kopecki. He's with the Pacific Ocean Division of the integration team from the Corps of Engineers.
our lobbyist was even surprised when we were sitting in on that meeting because there wasn't any funding, supposedly. But now there is funding that's been built up for Section 107 projects, and dredging of our South Harbor would possibly qualify for that. So we have to go through the program. First step is come up with a fact sheet, brief description, the way I understood it, of what the job's going to be, and then submit it to the Alaska Division of the Corps. Our lobbyist is supposed to call them today if he didn't last week, and Steve Kopecky was going to contact them as well. So that's we'll just see how that progresses. British Columbia Mining, the transboundary rivers, there was some, which surprised me, there was some positive feelings that there were going to be some talks with the Canadian government, that with the International Joint Commission, but we'll see how that goes. But then when I get back, I read in the news that the Lieutenant Governor is chairing a committee for the state that's going to talk with the Canadian government. So hopefully that works, so we don't have to, we have more control over, or at least input on the mining and tailing dams up the river. On the fisheries note, the EPA commercial fishing vessel incidental discharge, we've managed to get a three-year moratorium on that, and hopefully before next year, when Senator Boxer, is that when her term ends, is working with our senators, that there will be a permanent fix, and that would require water that runs off the deck of a boat, I believe under 80 feet, to be treated, and that would affect our fishing fleet dramatically. There was some talk about genetically modified salmon, not supporting that. National Marine Monuments don't really like the idea of the governor or the president being able to just determine that all the way around the Aleutians is now a monument and you can't fish there, so that was interesting. Coast Guard reorganization, didn't really get a straight answer, but I believe it's Congressman Young is on the Coast Guard committee, and he was going to ask them for an answer whether we would lose our 110-foot cutter when they transfer into the 152-foot vessels. Swan Lake Hydropower, we were in a meeting with Senator Sullivan, and that got kind of short. He was 45 minutes behind schedule, but it worked out. And as we were leaving the room, the Secretary of Energy was his next person in line. So he asked, Senator Sullivan asked if we wanted to be introduced to him, and we didn't see why not. So we met the gentleman. I can't remember his name, but had a chance to put in a plug for making it so our hydro in Southeast especially is considered green energy. And he listened, and so we'll see what goes from there, the Secretary of Energy. And that's about all I have to report from the Washington, D.C. and the Juneau trips, unless Steve and Kathy want to, or Steve and Cindy want to add something to it.
Just on the Swan Lake or the hydro issue, the Secretary mentioned a proposal they're trying to get through that actually funds lake tap and run of the river, smaller hydro type projects. Our lobbyist was unaware of that as well, and they're trying to look into the details on it. So that was encouraging news. We run up against this all the time. When you mention hydro, people think lower 48 Hoover Dam, and immediately you have a huge pushback from lots of environmental groups against productive use of hydro. The stuff that we do here isn't like that at all, and maybe gaining some traction on having them look at hydro in a less one big bucket and separating it out, which would be helpful. So,
okay, thanks, Steve. Cindy, you want to talk about your timber meeting you attended?
Yeah, I was able to attend the Senate meeting on the first run of the Forest Service budget, and the chief of the Forest Service, Tom Tidwell, was there, as well as the meeting was run by Senator Lisa Murkowski. One of the interesting things that came out, every year when fire season hits, the Forest Service typically gets to a point where fire expenditures are high enough that they start stealing from budgets for other programs to pay for firefighting. And the chief of the Forest Service was recommending that because fire incidents has increased and the fires are getting bigger and it's something that we know is going to happen every year, that they were making the recommendation that instead of stealing from their own budget, that that money come from designated emergency funds. And I'm saying the wrong name for the fund, but that seems to be a rational approach to trying to maintain
a Forest Service budget that's manageable without having to interrupt contracts and deal with end-of-season changes. Another thing that the senator really strongly emphasized with the chief of the Forest Service was her desire to see the Tongass increase its timber harvest, and that ties in with the secure rural schools issue. The chief was not able to give very many specifics, and there was a little bit of talk about state forestry's ability to log versus the Forest Service, and I think you can draw some conclusions from that, but it was definitely a focus of hers. And overall, pretty interesting. I mean, there were a couple other issues that came up during our meetings. There was a lot of talk about Alaska not having a designated transportation fund that goes specifically for transportation. The tax money that's collected goes to the general fund. And so that puts us in a little tougher spot as in terms of maintaining our infrastructure, trying to advocate for those dollars. And the Association of Counties was also advocating that local governments have more of a voice in helping plan transportation for their states. So I thought that was interesting. And the other thing that popped up was the discussion about trying to be able to collect tax on internet sales that would be a potential source of revenue for local governments as well.
Okay, thanks. So I see a red light flashing on the phone. Are you still there, Kurt? Transfer.
Get brought to that, Mark.
Okay. I don't understand this phone system. Right, you're being awful quiet.
It's been really fascinating to listen.
Okay. A real interesting trip back to Washington, D.C., and I think it was well worth the time, and it should happen in the future, in my opinion. Last time was over 9 years ago, so the lobbyists seem to think that was a little bit long, kind of lose connection with what's going on back there. So we'll see what happens down the road. You have anything else to report, Steve? You're next on the agenda.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Cindy, you have something else to... Oh, take a break. We'll take a 5-minute break. We'll reconvene at 1 o'clock. I guess that's 8 minutes.